What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Joining me, Mr. Grayson Weir. I do apologize for, I guess, a little bit of a delay. We're not coming at you right early in the morning. That's on me. It's not on Grayson. My wife is out of town, and I have two psychopaths that I have to take care of. So getting them out the door to school, and then, had to go get some... Gotta get the heart rate up, Grayson. Gotta treat the body well. So I couldn't do my normal 5 a.m. gym. So I had to go do that, get it knocked out. But we're here. Good morning. Welcome in.
Good morning. Yeah, good to be here. I can't relate to the 5 a.m. I'm a 5 p.m. heart rate guy. It gets all my anger out at the end of the day.
It's good. It gets the endorphins going early. Kind of wakes you up, even though I drink more than enough coffee. that's a good dose there. But anyway, Ole Miss, nobody cares about this shit.
I know.
Ole Miss gets one in Athens. It was pretty gross early, but look, resiliency, toughness. I mean, mentally, all the opportunities, Grayson, to just fold it up and we'll get them next weekend. Sorry, guys, but no, good on the Rebs. Austin Simmons just coming in. Charlie Condon, who are you? I don't give a shit, and strikes him out in three pitches.
He's awesome.
That was pretty dirty. He had two Ks. And Brayden Jones had a good outing. But yeah, good on the Rebs for fighting back, getting one. We were kind of going back and forth on it before we hit record. I think because it's a road game against a ranked opponent with I don't have the RPIs pulled up, but a good RPI, I believe. I don't think it's the worst thing, but now the margin for error is very slim. So,
the door is not closed. We have not slammed it shut. But if you breathe on it the wrong way, that door is going to close. Need a big gust of wind. Don't need any of that. Just a little, and it's closing real quick. Friday was really ugly to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's same stuff, different weekend. Like, this pitching staff just hasn't quite figured itself out yet outside of, the 16, 12 year old quarterback we've got out there. It's
special.
He's incredible. I mean, he's an absolute delight to watch. The rest of the pitching staff, not so much. But yeah, like you said, I mean, they didn't fold over and keel and just call it a weekend. They kept themselves alive. If you lose on Sunday, the season's over. If you win on Sunday, that door is still cracked. I mean, it's I think unlikely here, but if you can turn around and you can take three at home against a bad Alabama team, maybe two out of three in Auburn.
And Auburn's bad. They got swept by Mississippi State over the weekend.
They are awful this year. And then A&M, I mean, you're playing with house money against A&M. It really comes down to that A&M series, I think, because LSU, like, I know you're closing out the season with LSU, and obviously winning at LSU would be big. But if you can take two out of three in A&M, like, you actually have a chance, because then the people who are building this bracket say, oh, wait a minute, look what this Ole Miss team did. But if they get swept by A&M, like I think we kind of all expect to happen at this point, then you're going into the LSU series and it's like, well, sure, but LSU's bad too. So who really cares? You just need you need something here. You know, Alabama, Auburn, and LSU are not necessarily like flashy wins at this point. So you need some flashy wins against A&M. And that's a tough task. And it just seems unlikely. But like you said, you know, it's not over yet. Yeah. It's just as close as it gets to being over.
My assumption was correct. Georgia is 11th in the RPI per Warren Nolan.
Yeah, they're good.
Condon's ridiculous. Even when Ole Miss got him out, they were loud outs. Braden Randall made a SportsCenter top 10 play. He mashes the baseball. I think he might have gone down to Lafayette, Louisiana, and found some bats from that 2014 team. Ole Miss still hanging tough right now, 24th in the RPI, but 21-18 overall, 6-12 in the SEC. Per Warren Nolan, Ole Miss has the number one strength of schedule in the country.
That's interesting.
To me, like, quad one, they're 4-11. Quad two, though, 3-1. And then quad three is where I think hurts Ole Miss. 3-3 is not great. If I remember correctly, I've had people text me about, well, what if Ole Miss gets inside the top 20 for RPI? You know, will that still help them? I just don't know anymore. I feel like as of the last couple years, the committee is looking more at tangible things and what they've seen on the field.
Yeah.
Versus numbers and RPI and all of that. Because, I mean, what was it a couple years ago? It was like 20 – it was 2016. North Carolina had a top 20 RPI and were left out of the field.
Yeah, I think it's that meme. You know, the guy on the bus, there's the two guys on the bus. One is sad, one is happy, and one is, you know, an RPO or RPI, like RPI and, you know, analytics watcher. And then the other guy is just, oh, that boy, nice. Like, if you look at this team, RPI and all that numbers and all that stuff is great. You know, I can't believe that, you know, what you just said is true. Number one strength of schedule, you know, pretty solid RPI in the grand scheme of things. Because when you watch this team, it's just like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, eh. Like, they have the bats, they have the potential. It's just eh. So if you're this
right
committee watching them, I don't know how you decide that the numbers are more important than what you've actually seen.
Right. I did a quick Google. North Carolina was 19th in the RPI in 2016, left out of the field. That's North Carolina. Respected Power 5 baseball program, been to the College World Series, been to the title series. Normally you would think the committee would give the benefit of the doubt to not only a Power 5 program, but a program like North Carolina back when Mark Fox had them rolling. I good on the committee, though. I think they've been pretty strict on you got to earn it. We're not just going to go by, you know, your metrics. So we'll see. I mean, look, the road's going to be tough. And look, you know, it's like my guy Wreck-It Ralph says, like, hey, it's tough all over, man. the SEC West is brutal. I mean, LSU, a year after winning it all and dominating everybody, 5-13 in the conference. Auburn, Butch Thompson's a great coach. got him to Omaha last, or excuse me, 2022. He's been to Omaha multiple times. He's a good coach. He's not a bum. Auburn takes baseball serious. 2-16 in the SEC.
Yeah, they're awful.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, Florida, historically one of the better baseball programs in the country. Kevin O'Sullivan is thrown up there in the conversation with GOATs in terms of
possible player of the year.
Jack Caglione is absurd. He hit one over the monster in Nashville over the weekend that he caught on the fist.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
I mean, just muscled it out.
That ball.
Oppo. Florida's struggling. South Carolina, 9-9 in the SEC. 27-13 overall, though. Georgia, 9-9, almost to 30 wins. I mean, it's wild. So, again, I don't know. I think Ole Miss is going to have to go out and do it on the field. I don't think they're going to be able to rely on numbers.
Yeah.
But speaking of numbers, Grayson, before we get into that, I do want to remind everybody the show is brought to you each and every day by the College Corner. Three locations, Oxford, Flowood, Ridgeland. You know the deal by now. New place in Oxford. Gorgeous. 4,000-plus square feet. Scott and the folks over there, they take care of us, and they will take care of you. And today, if you go in there, any kind of purchase, it doesn't matter if you buy a koozie or you buy 17 polos. When you leave a tip. That tip will go directly to the Grove Collective, and it will benefit Ole Miss Athletics. But when you do that, when you excuse me, when you enter a when you leave a tip, you enter into a drawing for a chance to win a Grove Collective football signed by Lane Kiffin. The promotion ends May 15th. A winner will be randomly selected and then notified. So go to, and this is only for the Oxford location, if I didn't say that. So only College Corner, Oxford. Go in there, leave a tip, chance to win a signed football. You can put on your put in your office, put on your mantle, whatever you want to do with it. Put it in a nice little shadow box or something. But pretty cool. What Scott and the folks over there are doing, helping out the Grove Collective. Every little bit helps, right? As both football, men's and women's basketball are hitting the portal hard as the spring window is flowing right now. So go see the folks on Sisk Avenue, College Corner. Go this week, go this weekend before you get in town for double decker. Should be a great weekend, and help out the Grove Collective. All right, so speaking of numbers, let's get into it here. Mike Bianco, Sunday, almost gets it done. Or was it Saturday? No, it was Saturday. They did a doubleheader.
Yes.
Saturday gets win number 1,000, win number 900 at Ole Miss. Look, there's no way around it. And this isn't me, like, throwing shade or anything. I feel like more and more these days, Grayson, people have to understand not only sports, but just with anything. Like, both things can be true with a lot of things. Mike Bianco is a hell of a baseball coach. He is as accomplished as anyone in the country, anyone in the game. He's respected by his peers, by everybody. No one's saying Mike Bianco is not a good coach and whatever, not 1,000, who cares? No, like, he earned it. He built the Ole Miss baseball program to what it is today. Literally.
Absolutely, he did.
On his shoulders, built it to where Ole Miss takes baseball serious. Ole Miss invests in baseball. I don't have the spreadsheets in front of me, Grayson, but probably you can count on one hand how many people actually turn a profit on baseball. Ole Miss is probably one of those schools.
Yeah.
Or, you know, comes close to, you know, breaking even. But yeah, it's all because of Mike Bianco. It's an incredible accomplishment. College baseball is hard, man. It's a hard sport. Not only because it's a niche sport and it's not super duper cared about by everyone, but baseball is just a hard game. You know, the cliche of if you're good 3 out of 10 times, you're great. I mean, it's tough, and the longevity to be at Ole Miss for as long as he's been and get to 1,000 is a testament to him and what he's done. It's a testament to the players he's recruited. So it's a big deal. It's pretty cool. Ole Miss media department, you know, shocker, did a fantastic job.
Amazing job, yeah. Shout out to those guys always.
Bunch of testimonials from former players. That was cool to see, and just, you know, guys that, you know, hey, like, you had the basic, you know, congratulations, you earned it, you're the man. Then you had, you know, father figure type testimonials. It was cool. Now, if we flip it over to the flip side, it's a complicated relationship these days, which is crazy to say, because I literally have it right here. We're almost won it all. And I think that's, do you think that's more of just the battered memory of Ole Miss fans and just all the other years when Ole Miss couldn't quite get over the hump? Or do you think that's just this day and age with what have you done for me lately, with now everybody's back on like, well, we got to get rid of him, he's not performing? And that's not untrue. I think Mike Bianco would be the first one to admit that he's not getting it done this year. But look, two-time National Coach of the Year. I mean, look, we can go back on it. Too. Yeah, 2020 and 2022. Obviously, 2020 was the year when COVID cut the season short. Ole Miss was 16-1 at the time, really rolling. But been to two College World Series, obviously won it all in 2022. He's got a regular season title, two tournament titles, four SEC West titles, eight super regionals, won the conference, won the Southland when he was at McNeese State before he got to Ole Miss. It's, I don't know, man. I understand the concern now. Been there for 23 years. You know, is it time to turn the page? I don't know. Got 125K bonus winning the 1,000th game. Like, already making close to 2 million. Now, this is such a loaded question because with the portal and NIL, everything's different now. But, I mean, what's your take on the legacy and you know, kind of looking ahead now as it's April 22nd and Ole Miss is just above 500?
So I will be the first to say, like, I don't know the early portion of the Bianco era. I was not, you know, 2001, I was 5 years old, not to date myself, but like I, when he was hired, I wasn't even thinking about, I was just trying to get on base in Little League. Like it wasn't a thing. So I can only speak on what I've seen, which is kind of like 2010 on pretty much, which is, I mean, it's still crazy that, you know, that's such a small sample size for his entire career. And yet that's still 14 years. Which is a testament to what he's done. But I think you're right. It is tricky because this is a guy who will probably have his name on the stadium when this is all said and done. You know, he's
probably should.
900 wins in Oxford, 1,000 wins all time, you know, College World Series champion. And that's the thing too. It's like, to go back to one of those kind of questions you threw in there, like, is it what have you done for me lately? Or is it, you know, kind of just this constant frustration, I guess, that has kind of loomed over the last 10 years or so. I mean, let's call it even seven. Even that College World Series team that won it all, like they went 14-16 in the SEC. They kind of snuck in with a really strong push down the stretch to get into the tournament at all, to be in the field of 64 or whatever it is. And then just got hot at the right time. So even that team, like that was a frustrating team for a large portion of the regular season. That 22 team was really frustrating.
We were making hot boards. We were making hot boards before the selection show.
Exactly. And so then it's like, yes, he got it and he deserved it. And he did a great job and he is a good coach. And there's no way to diminish such an incredible career. But at the same time, it's like it just feels like the energy has shifted. That energy that was there during that College World Series run, if you want to attribute it to Bianco, great, fine, whatever. It just felt like that team kind of rallied together itself. And the skipper certainly plays a role in that. But, you know, we haven't seen that energy matched the way that it was during that month-long stretch of the season. I haven't seen that energy, you know, even in 2018 when freaking Tennessee Tech and Nick Osborne, like I will never forget that dude's name, goes in there and wins in Oxford. Like there were multiple times during that weekend where I was confident that that was going to be it for Bianco because he did the classic thing of leaving his pitchers in too long. He There were bad lineups. Like, it was so frustrating. And then he turns around and makes a super regional the next year, makes it, 16-1 in 2020. That team was incredible. I wish we could have seen what happened there. The super regional again, then College World Series champions. Like, how can you knock this? But then at the same time, this year is kind of the, I guess, like, the epitome of all of the frustrations that we have shared over the last 7 to 10 years. It all came together and came crashing down on top of it. So it's like, it's such a tricky thing because, yes, do I think that this program could use some new life? Sure. But then at the same time, Bianco's 56 years old. He's not an old,
He's not old.
no, he's not an old guy.
Looks
As
good
a,
for 56.
yeah. And he's a fantastic person and a great coach who I very much enjoy having in charge of this program. But then if you let him go, who do you replace him with? Who can you get that's better than four super regionals or three super regionals in 4 years and then a College World Series? Like, I don't know because this year is very frustrating. And we've talked about you lose your top two pitchers right off the jump. That's going to be brutal. But there have been a lot of frustrating years in between. I mean, 2011, 2017, there were years where it's like, what the heck is, why is this team not able to do what it is? So I don't know. That was a big word salad that didn't really say anything, but it's just such a complicated question because do I think that this program could benefit from some new energy? Yes, absolutely. Who is that? Who it, so many other programs would be thrilled to hire Mike Bianco. So then why is Ole Miss and myself included as a fan, why would we even consider asking him to take a front office role when he's proven he can win? He has a fantastic career, 900 wins. Like, I don't know. It's just confusing. And I think this year, what I'm going to end up doing here is I'll be frustrated through the end of the season, barring, a change in scenery here over the next couple of weeks. And then just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to chalk it up to lost your top two starters. I'm just going to kind of flush it and see what happens next year. Like, is it time to let him go now? Absolutely not. If he stacks another year like this, and then another year, if it comes 2, 3, 4 years of this same mundaneity, yeah, then you got to start thinking. But 1 year, no big deal. Last year was tough, sure. This year is tough too, sure. Like, if it gets to 3, 4, then you got to start having that conversation.
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
Call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. He can help you with any of your health insurance needs. Drew is an Ole Miss grad located in Mississippi and licensed in 7 states. He works with the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage with access to 35 different carriers, regular health plans, to life insurance, to dental and vision, and even Medicare. He has it all covered. Now more than ever, it is critical to have a health insurance agent who is local and accessible. So call Drew Moak at 601-953-8449. 601-953-8449 and get your free quote today.
The signs of summer are here. Freshly mowed grass, days in the water at the ballpark, and all the rest on the golf course. Well, that's how we do it over here at Oxford and Ole Miss anyway. And PXG Golf Apparel is here to make sure you're locked and loaded for round after round at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has taken its mission to create the most high-quality, high-performance golf clubs in the game to their new line of apparel as well. With PXG apparel, there's something for everyone. From pants, polos, and sweaters to hats, joggers, and skirts. You'll usually find me with a hat on my head, and PXG has nailed the fitted breathable. And my navy goes with pretty much anything. So don't wait another second. elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use promo code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC, code TOC for Talk of Champions to save 10% on apparel. PXG, a proud sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast network. The sun's a-shining in Oxford, Mississippi. Cookouts in the Grove, beer showers. It's just the very best time for an Ole Miss Rebel to get out and get going. Carry Front Door peace of mind with you everywhere you go with Eufy Video Lock. Never has home security been so easy. Eufy Video Lock, an all-in-one security device for your front door, allows you to keep an eye on everything back home. And it's so easy. Installation requires only a screwdriver. So ditch those house keys forever and give Eufy Video Lock a try today. There's no monthly fee, and Eufy Video Lock has customer support on standby 24/7 to help you with any and all home security needs. Go ahead, have your Ole Miss fun in the sun with the assurance your home is in good hands with Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock's built-in camera can tell you who's at your front door from the comfort of your poolside chair. So search Eufy Video Lock today. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock, a proud sponsor of this, the Talk of Champions podcast network. It's concert season. And concert season is all about the boots. Already, Oxford and Ole Miss have seen Morgan Wallen lighted up at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Ole Miss football star and Talk of Champions podcaster Jared Ivey bemoaned how his boots were lacking. He should have gone with Tecovas, the only stop for the Ole Miss fan and the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings for the spring and summer, including timeless, always on-trend styles in men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Stop by your local Tecovas store and have a complimentary drink or two on the house while you shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service, and many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So I guess Nick Osborne is like your version of Dan Grovath for me.
Yeah.
In Virginia.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, my viewpoint's probably a little different because I grew up and then was in college during like that, like, the heyday, the upward trajectory of the program where it just like shot up. Like my last 2 years of high school were the super regionals when Ole Miss in 2005 won 48 games, ran into a buzzsaw in Texas who won it all. Yeah. 2006 ran into Miami, team that's been to Omaha. I believe it's still the record of going to Omaha more than anyone. And then 2007, super regional out at Arizona State and Tempe. And then 2009, when I was in school, that had the chance to get to Omaha. Virginia beat them.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
So, I mean, that was four super regionals in 5 years. And then Ole Miss finally gets over the hump in 2014. 48 wins again, finishes third in Omaha. Goes on the road and defeats a loaded, just on fire ULL team that had just mashed the baseball all year, and Ole Miss defies all logic and, you know, hostile environment down there in Carcosa and gets it done. But yeah, like you said, 2018, I mean, national seed, like a, if I remember correctly, a top five national seed, can't get it done. 48-17, you don't go to Omaha. Don't even get out of your regional. So yeah, it's complicated, but like you have to put it in perspective of what the body of work is, where you're looking at a guy that's won now the third most wins ever in SEC history behind Ron Polk, who people consider like the GOAT, and then Tim Corbin, who's more of a modern day, I wouldn't call him the GOAT, but I mean, he's got two titles and he wins seemingly 45 games every year at Vandy. You know, chasing Ron Polk, I don't know if Bianco will get there. He's got to win 219 more. But he, like you said, he's only 56. So
Yeah, he's got a ton of time left.
If Ole Miss lets him hang around for 5, 6 more years, maybe. But, yeah, 22 seasons, and we've already gone through all the accolades. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things with kind of like Alabama was in football. All right, if Nick Saban, like, he wasn't fired, but, you know, Nick Saban's gone, like, you got to go find the right guy now.
Yep.
And we talked about that on the show. Like, if you ever think you're not replaceable, I mean, Nick Saban was replaced in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Now, I know that doesn't mean he was, you know, figuratively replaced. So we don't know what Kalen DeBoer is going to do, but, you know, literally replaced in 48 hours. Like, it's, all right, turn the page. We got to go to work. We honor Nick Saban. I'm sure Alabama will honor Nick Saban for the next 50 years, but you got to keep going. I mean, I don't know if you're going to look at – and I don't really want to talk about who to replace Mike Bingo because I don't think we're there yet. But,
no,
I mean, it's going to be big shoes to fill no matter what. I mean, the guy has literally built the program up from nothing. You know, with all due respect to everybody that came before Mike Bianco and the great players and teams that went to Omaha and you know, won a lot of games. But in modern-day college baseball, Ole Miss is talked about among the top 10 programs in terms of, you know, long extended periods of success. And it's a respected program, without a doubt.
Because of Mike.
Yeah.
He's great. And this is, again, like,
yeah,
I think I'll speak for both of us. Like, he's a fantastic coach and a great human being. It's just a question of how long of a leash do you give him if these consistent struggles continue.
Yeah, and I go back and forth on it with, would Mike Bianco hang it up? Would he get to a point where he admits, I'm not getting
56.
It done. Go get somebody else. I don't think he will. I think he's just too competitive.
And he wins. He's been winning.
I mean, they're not completely dead just yet. And if you look at the resume, only missed the tournament
5 times plus COVID.
2, 3, 4. Yeah. If you don't count COVID, which I'm not going to count COVID.
No.
4 times in 24 years, 23 years. So, I mean, that's impressive. And if you want to play that game where you compare it to the NCAA basketball tournament, you know, getting to Omaha, that's 2 Elite Eights, you know, getting to a super regional. He's been to 8 Sweet 16s, if you want to do it that way. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's actually a good way of thinking about it. That puts
it in a very different sport, but you get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, and again, it's we're not even to May yet, so who knows? I mean, Ole Miss could get hot in Hoover, where most of the time the teams that are already in the tournament don't care about Hoover.
Yep.
But this will be a year where Ole Miss will have to care about Hoover. Win it all and you're in. So, yeah, it's a very complicated thing to discuss, no doubt. But despite the complications, all credit to Mike Bianco and what he's done at Ole Miss. It's pretty remarkable.
It really is. To win 900 games anywhere is pretty insane.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't care what the sport is. That's pretty damn impressive. Speaking of damn impressive, podcast is also brought to you by our good folks at USA Benefits Group, Drew Moak and the folks there. Proud sponsor of the show. If you need help cutting down those health insurance premiums by 20 to 30%, you can hit up Drew Moak. He will help you out. He is local and accessible. He's an Ole Miss grad. He's in Mississippi, but he's licensed in 7 states. Works with the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage, and he's got access to 35 carriers. So dental, vision, life insurance, regular health plans, Medicare, all of that. Give him a call, 601-953-8449. Or visit usabg.com/DMOAK and get your free quote today. All right, Grayson, before we get out of here, let's talk football portal. Ole Miss got a commitment from Jacory Merritt over the weekend. Flew under the radar a little bit. Not a lot of people knew about him. Gets into town, official visit, wraps things up. Originally committed to Arizona. Jed Fish leaves, starts looking around. Ole Miss quickly prioritized him. Shout out to Enrique Davis and Kevin Smith for doing a fantastic job here. He's a dude that I think is going to help this room and then some. I don't think he's going to be talked about enough heading into the summer and into the fall. But 5'11", 204 pounds, ran for close to 1,200 yards and had 17 touchdowns a year ago for New Mexico. Finished the year with back-to-back 200-yard games. He had 209 against Fresno and then 233 in a doozy of a game against Utah State. I remember those late Mountain West nights staying up watching him. So I think this is a fantastic pickup. I think he's going to mesh well with Ulysses Bentley and Kiju Griscano and everybody else in that room. I've been told that Henry Parrish is still expected to commit at some point. I don't think this is going to change that as of today. The portal is incredibly fluid, but I feel pretty comfortable. I'm like a 99% sure that Henry Parrish will be an Ole Miss Rebel in the fall. And then Trent Howland, the big dude from Indiana, is in town right now as we record this. So the staff continues to tell me, like, hey, we're going to change this room up. It's going to be completely different. You know, losing Quinshon Judkins is a big blow, but I think Ole Miss, as we know, Grace, and we've talked about it for years, Lane Kiffin loves to run the football. He loves to be physical and dictate pace with the run game before taking shots and trying to score from far and all that. I think Merritt's going to be a big part of that. I talked with a staffer who said, quote, his feet are extra special. They said that they put on the tape initially, and there were some things that he did that they've never seen before. So a very talented player who I think is going to be a perfect piece for this offense next year.
Yeah, I'm not going to compare apples to oranges, but I think when you're looking at this running back room, what it was supposed to be, it was going to be Quinshon Judkins and Ulysses Bentley again for the second year in a row. And now, obviously, you lose Q to Ohio State. How do you replace Q? You already had the receiving back. You already had the third down back. You kept Bentley, which was a huge, like, for Ole Miss to retain him. Was he probably going to go pro? I don't think so anyway. But for Ole Miss to just, like, really make sure that he was going to stay was a great win, because he has proven to be a first, second, and third down back if you need him to be. But he's really valuable in that kind of passing game, especially in those kind of outs and those screens and bubbles and all those things. So it's like, okay, then how do we replace Quinshon Judkins? And look, again, I'm not comparing Jacory Merritt to Quinshon Judkins. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to. However, with that being said, I mean, let me pull up real quick. Quinshon Judkins was listed at 6 foot, 5'11", 210. Jacory Merritt's 5'11", 204, probably closer to 210. I mean, they're probably in the same ballpark here. You're looking at a very similar player. So while, Quinshon Judkins is this big name guy who carries, the SEC's leading rusher, all that stuff, Jacory Merritt is probably the best running back in New Mexico history. His redshirt season alone, incredible. And then when you look at, his time at Alabama State, I know it's Alabama State, but like he was really good there too. I think that Jacory Merritt fills the need that Ole Miss needed the most, which is a compact between the tackles runner who, if you let him get in space, he will still make you miss or just simply run you over. Like he's kind of like when you think of like an NCAA football video game, you've got your speed back, you've got your power back, you've got the balance back. Jacory Merritt's kind of that balanced where he can do it all. I mean, everyone talks about what Diego Pavia did at New Mexico State. New Mexico, around the corner, like Jakori Merritt was doing big things. And I don't know. I think it's a really good add. I think he's a really good fit for what this team needs. And then when you factor in, hopefully you get Logan Diggs, you know, you don't have to rush him back now. Certainly that's the big thing here. You don't have to rush Logan Diggs back, but if you add him into the mix too, then you've got three guys who do three very different things. Logan Diggs is very different from Jakori Merritt, who's very different from Ulysses Bentley, who's very different from Henry Parrish. Like you're kind of, who's even more different from Trent Howland. Like you're kind of, like you said, this staff is revamping this room from the bottom up. And I think it's going to be a really valuable add because not a lot of people watched New Mexico last year, except for, you know, us sickos. Everyone watched New Mexico State because of Pavia, but really the best state player in the state was Jakori Merritt. If you look at the numbers, like sure, Pavia had the name. Yeah, he's the quarterback, all this stuff. But like, Jakori Merritt was over at the other institution doing better things, and he was more important to his team. And it also helps too, what he's, I guess this is his sixth year of eligibility, right? Because he played 4 years at Alabama State,
one
at New Mexico. Yeah, so this is year six for Jakori Merritt. That's something we're not talking about enough in college football as a whole. Like that's a huge deal to have a six-year guy in your backfield. He knows what he's doing. He has experience playing on all levels now. This is his, you know, third move. He's played at the small level of Alabama State and dominated them. Went to New Mexico, played on the G5 level, dominated there. Now you bring him in, and you're not expecting him to do what he did at New Mexico. You're not asking him to go for 1,200 yards in 12 games. You know, that's not what you're asking. You're saying, hey, man, we need you to be the first down guy. Just get us 2, 3, 4 yards every carry, and then we'll mix in our shifty Ulysses Bentley on top of that. So I'm really excited about it. And if you guys, people listening, haven't gone and watched Jakori Merritt's tape yet, go do it now. You'll be delightfully surprised, I guess, because again, this isn't a name that anyone knew about because New Mexico was not very good, and Diego Pavia stole all the headlines out of that state last year. So go watch the tape. He's awesome. It's a really great ad. And then if you're adding Trent Howland on top of it, then you've got your, you know, hey, we need you. You've got your thunder, your lightning, and then you've got, you know, that kind of in between back as well. So
heat lightning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Which apparently is not, freaking not pumped. Real. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, but.
Wait, what? I'm going to have to Google that when we're done here. I don't believe heat lightning must be a real thing.
I think it's just lightning. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I agree. I think, and look, if it's any consolation to everyone listening and reading at omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3, the staff loves him. I think at this point, the staff has earned your trust, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
If the staff feels like he's a good, I think that's the best part is the fit. It's not like, well, he's super talented. We'll figure it out when he gets here. Like, no, like there's an actual plan of how he's going to work with everyone else in the room. And we know about Kevin Smith and how he loves to rotate guys and keep people fresh. Kiffin loves to, you know, use tempo and try to steal yardages via the run game when you've got people on their heels. And now you've got an enormously massive offensive line. You've got a third year quarterback that's starting to get Heisman buzz already. And you've got Trey Harris, you've got Juice Wells, you've got Jordan Watkins, you've got Caden Priestcorn, you've got all these weapons now where it's which area are you attacking? Which area are you trying to take away to slow Ole Miss down? And I think, look, the more Kiffin's done this since he arrived at Ole Miss, he's not going to care about numbers. He's not going to care about people's feelings. He treats it like a professional organization. Kiffin's just like, I'm going to bring in as many talented people as I can to emphasize competition and to push people to their limits to see, do you want to compete? How do you react to competition? How do you react to adversity? And then we're going to go from there, and we're going to use, you know, 3 to 4 backs to run an offense. So, yeah, I think it's great. I think the way Ole Miss plays offense, this just makes so much sense. And, yep. Oh, by the way, he scored 17 touchdowns a year ago on a bad football team. So
really bad team.
Yeah, it's one thing when you're like, well, so-and-so at Wisconsin was really good, but, you know, he had four NFL linemen in front of him. Like, no, Ja'Cory Merritt played at New Mexico and was having to basically do shit on his own. Like, I'd love to see the yards after contact numbers for him and how early he was hit in his runs.
So I think, if I remember correctly, I saw something. Actually, it might have even been in response to your initial commitment announcement via the Ole Miss Spirit. It was something like, of the top 30 backs or something like that, top 35 or 300. I don't know. There was whatever it was, X amount of running backs received 40 designed carries last season. Ja'Cory Merritt was one of the players who received 40 designed carries. So probably got that first number wrong, but whatever. He got 40 designed carries last year, and he was inside the 40 best players in terms of yards after contact. So he's a guy who, with this offense, you said it better than I did on my initial tangent I went on there, but the way that this offense is built, his fit is so perfect here, because you're going to spread out this offense, you're going to force the defense to go cover these receivers and get out in the flat, and then you're going to have a running back who can really expose kind of the inside. And if you run behind this giant offensive line on a box that is light, it could be pretty dangerous.
Yeah, you did get it right.
Yeah, I couldn't pull it out. I was trying to find it. I couldn't find the numbers.
It was our very own Clark Brooks.
Yes.
SEC stat cat, who's just a psycho when it comes to numbers, in a good way. Like, he, that dude, I would love to see that dude's Excel account. So among the 335 running backs in the country that received at least 40 design carries, Merritt placed inside the top 40 in both yak average, so yards after contact, and missed tackles force rate.
Oh, so nice.
He's already been through the fire, having to play behind a mediocre to bad offensive line, creating his own space, creating his own yards. So that's great to hear, because, I mean, right now all signs point to Ole Miss having one of the better offensive lines in the SEC. So imagine this dude running behind an offensive line that's going to actually pave the way for him. I think it's great. So
especially with the defense stretched out to cover the receivers, like, they're not going to be able to focus in as much on the interior and the inside run game, because they have to stretch out and cover these guys on the corners. So pretty dangerous.
Pretty dangerous. And again, Ole Miss is going to add more pieces in the spring window as more and more people are getting into the portal. We will have all that for you at omspirit.com. We've got a transfer portal hub for basketball. We will have all of that coverage and more. Stay locked in. If you're not a member already, just come on, pull the trigger. It's $1 for a month. Get into the message board and just enjoy the community. Get involved in the conversation. We'd love to have you. And again, we're going to have all the coverage that you want for the portal. Baseball, getting back to it this week and weekend. We'll talk about that more throughout the week. Grayson, as always, appreciate your patience and moving some things around on your schedule. Shout out to College Corner. Shout out to USA Benefits Group. And shout out to you, the listener, for tuning in. So for Grayson over there, I'm Zach. This has been The Flagship. Y'all have a good Monday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.